ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदं गुरुम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदं गुरुम् मुमुक्षूणां हितार्थाय मुमुक्षूणां हितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते On the page 36, let us read the first passage. स्थूलशरीराभिमानी जीवनामकं ब्रह्मप्रतिबिम्बं भवति यस्टर्डे वी डिस्कस्ड जीवनामकं व्हाट इज कॉल्ड जीव दैट इज यू एंड आई We are called Jivatma, the individual self. So Vedanta seeks to reveal what our true nature is. We are born with ignorance and also born with a perception about ourselves. Because as human beings, we are self-conscious beings, conscious of ourselves as well as the world around ourselves. Therefore, I am always conscious of myself. Therefore, I always have a perception of who I am. My perception of myself is basically that I am a limited being, subject to birth and death. I am limited in time. I did not exist before a certain time. I will not exist after a certain time. I am limited in place. I can be at one place at one time and not at another place. I am limited also in attributes that I possess the attributes of a human being, but not of a tree, not of an elephant, not of a fish, etc. So all of these limitations create in me a sense that I am a limited being. If this perception that I am a limited being, I am a needy being, if this perception did not cause any difficulties in our life, then it's okay. This is a wrong perception, but many wrong notions we have in the life and they don't seem to bother us. We all think that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening. It's not a reality. The sun does not rise, nor does the sun set, but we think, but that does not affect our life. We think there is blue sky, which is not a reality, doesn't affect our life. But there may be a number of things like this about which we may have wrong notions, but as long as those wrong notions do not bother us, they do not come in the way of our day-to-day living, it doesn't matter. But this wrong notion about myself, that I am a limited being, constantly makes in me a sense of self-dissatisfaction. Because I am a limited being, therefore, I suffer from a sense of self-dissatisfaction. I am not satisfied with myself because I find myself a limited being. Why am I not satisfied with myself? Because I like to see myself free from all limitations. That is my desire about myself. What I want about myself. Understand, the basic desire is desire about myself. Even though I seem to be desiring a number of worldly things, wealth, name, fame, this, that, so many things I desire. But behind all the desires, there is only one desire. What is that desire? To be happy with myself. To be satisfied with myself. To be acceptable to my own self. That's all I want. I think that by getting this and by getting that and by doing this and by becoming this and that, that I will be satisfied with myself. I think that right now I don't have much money, but if I become wealthy, then I'll be happy with myself. Right now I'm an unknown person, if I become well known, I'll be happy with myself. So, the desire behind fulfilling the variety of desires is one simple desire, and that is what? Just to be happy with myself. To be satisfied with myself, to be acceptable to my own self. It's very interesting how we are very critical of ourselves. We are very critical of ourselves. We are very demanding of ourselves. I cannot tolerate any limitation about myself. I cannot tolerate any shortcoming about myself. I am very demanding of myself that I should be free from all shortcomings, from all limitations. That's what I am demanding of myself. And to fulfill that demand, I fulfill a variety of desires, thinking that by fulfilling those desires, I'll find myself an acceptable self. A satisfactory self, you understand? Doesn't happen, unfortunately. So that is where the Vedantic teaching comes in. That you don't have to become satisfied with yourself. in order to become free from limitation. You already are free from limitations. You already are limitless. So right now, my life is constantly a process of becoming limitless. Vedanta says, discover that you are limitless. So turn around from the process of becoming and doing to the process of knowing. Becoming and doing is one thing, and knowing is another thing. See, our mind is the disposition of mind, which wants to do something is one kind of disposition. And the mind that is said to know something is a different disposition. In doing, there is always extrovertedness, going out. In knowing, there is the introvertedness, looking at myself. Therefore, to know myself, I must have a mind which enjoys an abidance, enjoys a tranquility, enjoys peace. In that kind of mind, I can discover what my true nature is. Therefore, preparations to create that kind of a mind. Vedanta calls it antahaka shuddhi, purification of mind. Making mind free from raga and dvesha, attachment and aversions. So this is a different process. It is getting rid of something, not acquiring something. So Vedanta says that you have taken for granted as to who you are. Your conclusion that you are a limited being. Do you have valid reasons to entertain this conclusion? Do you have valid reasons to justify that you are a limited being? Or have you simply taken it for granted? Very often, we entertain many notions without having analyzed them, without having examined them, without questioning them. I never questioned this conclusion on my part that I am a limited being, never questioned it. I have always taken it for granted that I am an individual being, different from all other individual beings. I am an individual being, that's called Jivatma. I'm different from Ishvara, different from the world, different from other beings, taken for granted. But Swamiji is our experience that you are different, I am different. Where is taken for? It's an experience. Is it not our experience that you are different, I am different? Not an experience? Is it an experience? Is it not so? Am I not different from you? Am I not different from you? Yes, you see that? I am different from you. You know when you say you are different from me, I equate you to that body. And I equate myself to this body. And then say that you are different from me, I am different from you. You understand this? So, saying that the world is different and I am different, that is right. When I am equal to this body. When you are equal to that body. So, when I point to you, if that you stops at the body and I stops at the body, then of course you are different and I am different. But this finger that I point out and I say you, what does that you mean? What does I mean? There are two fellows here, two ornaments are there. One is a bangle, other is a chain. Bangle says, hey chain, you are different and I am different. Chain says, hey bangle, you are different and I am different. Yes, it is true. If bangle is equal to the name and form, the shape and name, and chain is equal to another name and form, then they are different. But if bangle knew that I am gold, and chain knew that I am gold, are they different? If bangle knew that I am gold, and chain knew that is it gold or not? Tell me. Because about the bangle there are two aspects. One is an incidental changing aspect, that's the shape and the name, but the gold is what? Changeless aspect, is it not so? One is impermanent, other is permanent, one is changing, other is changeless. About us also, there is a changing aspect and there is a changeless aspect. I'm happy, I'm unhappy, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm tall, I'm short. That's how I see myself. In all of these, is there something common? I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm tall, I'm short, I'm happy, I'm unhappy, I'm here, I'm there. In all of these, is there something that is common? I am. Is it not so? So therefore in all my introduction that I give to you, one thing, one thread runs constantly. What's that? I am. That doesn't change, isn't it so? That man comes and goes, woman comes and goes, tall comes and goes, short comes and goes, happy comes and goes, unhappy. What doesn't come and go? I am. In that bangle, the round form comes and goes, and then if you melt it, it will have a different name and form. But the gold doesn't come and go. So what is unchanging is the true nature. What is changing is not the true nature. You follow? For an actor, right now he is a king, then he is a beggar, he is a minister, one thing is changing. What does not change is the actor. So what does not change? The true nature. Is it not so? So what is our true nature? I am. The things are all incidental, come and go. Like a movie screen, the screen is the same, all movies come and go, all the scenes come and go, so the I am is a screen on which man, woman, happy and coming and going. So really speaking, when I say I, what should it mean? Right now, when I say I, to me what it means is the body, but should it be? If I really gave a thought to myself and deliberate upon who I truly am, then that I will not stop at the body. Where will it go? I am. It's interesting that I am doesn't have a form. It joins with all, like gold joins with all the forms but doesn't have a form. The gold joins with all the names, doesn't have a name. So I am joins with all the forms, tall, short, all the names, man, woman. I am itself is devoid of all the names and forms. Is it not so? Like water, which doesn't have a form of its own, fill it in any bottle, any vessel, it will take that shape because it doesn't have a form of its own. Water doesn't have a color of its own. So you fill in any colored bottle, you'll assume that color. So I am doesn't have any form. doesn't have any name, doesn't have any distinction. So it can join with all distinctions. But the true nature is what? I am. It is formless. When there is no form, there is no limit. I am is formless, limitless, self-shining, consciousness. The next is that I am of mine and I am of you, are they same or different? The gold in the bangle and the gold in the chain, are they different? So I am in me, and I am in you, and I am in anybody, including a mosquito really. Mosquito may not say I am, but if suppose it could say, then isn't that I am universal, same, I mean all living beings, is not so. So if you knew that, then if I ask you, are you different from me? Or you are what I am. If I identify myself with I am, not with this body, because that's an incidental thing. If the bangle identified itself with the gold and not with name and form, then it is not separate from anything. Because no ornament can be separate from gold. If the bangle knew that I am gold, then no ornament is separate from it. So whereas when we take a vessel as a body, yes, we are all different from each other. But in reality, what is the true nature? That's what we all discussed earlier. Atma kaha, what's the nature of Atma? What's the nature of Self? Satchit Ananda. Sat means existence, Chit means awareness, Ananda means happiness. Therefore, what's the nature of I? Satchit Ananda. What's the nature of I that you are? Satchit Ananda. And Satchit Ananda is what? Free from all distinctions, all attributes, formless, changeless, nameless. So this is the real universal, that's what Vedanta teaches us. However, the way I perceive myself right now is, I am this body, mind, sense complex. Why is it so? Because sthula sharira abhimani. I am identified with the sthula sharira, the gross body, the subtle body, the causal body. And therefore, looks upon itself as a small, insignificant entity. Just as the sun, when it gets reflected in the bucket, thinks that, and there are so many buckets, so many reflections, in reflection think that I am different from other reflections. I am bright, other fellows say I am not bright, I am dull. I am pure, somebody says I am impure. All of those are attributes of water. The reflection is one in all of them, is not different from sun. So reflection and sun are not really different. So reflection should know that I am sun. You follow? So sthula sharira abhimani, jivanamakam brahma pratibimbam bhavati. Just as there is a reflection of sun in the bucket, so also in the mind there is a reflection of consciousness, reflection of Brahma. That is called jiva, ego. Who is jiva? The ego, the individual self. Let's see the next sentence there in that line. Saiva jivaha prakritya Svasmat Ishwaram Vinnatvena Janate. Seva Jivaha, like that reflection in the bucket, thinks that it is different from the sun. Please tell me, is that reflection different from the sun? The reflection in the bucket, is it really different from the sun, which is the image? Sun is reflected in the bucket. Is that reflection different from the sun? If sun goes away, can that reflection remain? So reflection is because sun, isn't it? Reflection does not have an existence apart from that of the sun, right? Sun is, therefore, reflection is. So reflection is never away from sun. Not only that, but the true nature of reflection is nothing but sun. But unfortunately, that reflection identifies itself with the bucket, with that water, and thinks that it is a limited entity. And there are so many buckets and so many reflections, so this reflection thinks that I am different from all others. I'm different from sun, and I'm different from all the reflections. They are not different from sun, they are not different from each other also. There is an appearance of difference, but in reality they are not. Seva Jiva, this Jiva, the ego, the individual self, which is a reflection of Brahman in the mind, prakritya by nature, svasmat ishwaram vinnatvena janate. You know what is by nature? By nature means by birth. Means that this is the mistake or the error that is coming down. Even though the reflection is not separate from the sun, the reflection takes itself away different from the sun. Similarly, this Jivatma, you and I, take ourselves to be different from Brahma, different from Ishvara. So, why is it called naturally? Because this is an ongoing mistake. We are born with ignorance. And therefore, born with this error of taking ourselves as different from each other. Taking ourselves as different from each other. Nobody is telling me that. Our mother did not have to say that to us. She will teach me that this is your nose, these are your eyes, that's your head, this is your dad, that's your brother, your sister. But she did not need to tell me that you are different, I am different. Did we need to be educated in that? That you are different, Ishvara is different, you are different, I am different. We already take it from, we already know, meaning that we come with that conclusion already, you see. That's called prakritya, by nature, meaning that without any effort we have come with that conclusion. So whoever is born has come with this conclusion of perception that I am an individual self, different from other self and different from Ishvara. This is called bheda buddhi, this is the sense of duality. You are all born with this. So, who is I? Next passage tells us that. avidyopadhisan atma jivah ityuchyate. So we are born, avidya means what? Ignorance. We are born with ignorance. Ignorance is something nobody has created. Ignorance did not begin any time. Ignorance has no beginning. So question is, Swamiji, since how long is this mistake going on? Since when, Swamiji, do I take myself to be an individual being? Since when? No answer to that question from the time beginningless. Meaning that ignorance is always, it has no beginning. And from ignorance, this wrong perception that I am a limited being is coming down. Meaning, as even since I am born, I take the body to be myself. Is it not so? Since birth, habitually, I take the body to be myself. I take the mind to be myself. I take sense organs to be myself. This body, mind, sense complex, without being told, I take it to be myself. So my mother did not need to tell me that you are this body. I knew it. So because of ignorance, we are born with this identification, with this notion that I am this body, I am this mind, I am this sense organs, you are that body, you are that mind, you are that sense organs. And therefore I am different, you are different. So what creates the identification is called ignorance. So vidyopadhisan, because of the upadhi or limiting adjunct of avidya or ignorance, we are born with that. And therefore a natural habit of identification with our body, mind, sense complex. Atma jiva iti uchyate. Atma the self. What is Atma? Satchidananda. What is the true nature? I am. What is I am? Satchidananda. What is Sat? Existence. What is Chit? Awareness. Intelligence. What is Ananda? Happiness. Wholeness. Existence, awareness, wholeness is the nature of each one of us. But since we are born with ignorance and identified with this body, mind, sense complex, therefore each one of us thinks that I am a jivatma, I am a limited being, I was born, I am subject to birth and death, I am subject to all limitations. So who is called jiva, you know? That atma is called jiva. Who is atma? Satchidananda atma. The limitless self alone is called jiva. When it is identified with this individual body, mind, sense complex. And who is Ishvara? Says the next sentence. Mayopadhisan atma ishvarah iti uchyate. Mayopadhi, same atma, when it has the costume of maya. What is maya? The totality. What is avidya? Ignorance. Individuality. What is maya? Totality. Same Atma, same Satchidananda, is now, has two costumes. One is the costume of ignorance, because of which he takes himself to be individual self. Other is the costume of Maya. The discussion of Maya came, but let me remind you what Maya is. You know, last night we talked about the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So this Maya is predominant in sattva. Ishvara has his costume called Maya, which is predominant in sattva. Where there is sattva, there is knowledge. Therefore, because of the costume of Maya, Ishvara is all knowledge, omniscient. Omnipotent, omnipresent, creator, sustainer, dissolve the Maya is that power with which Ishvara creates, sustains, dissolves. All of this we discuss in the evening. Last 2 evenings we've been talking about. Here, of course, we already discussed in the past. Who is Ishvara? Same self with the costume of Maya. What is Maya? The totality. The total creative power. So Atma with the costume of Maya is called Ishvara. Atma with the costume of avidya or ignorance is called Jiva. Same one. Same self. Same Satchidananda. Same limitless. Because of the costume of ignorance, the costume of individuality comes to be called Jiva, and the fellow is ignorant, takes himself as small, insignificant, unhappy, sad, and struggling to become happy. Story of Jiva Atma. Same Atma with the costume of Maya is Ishvara, creator, sustainer, dissolver. Like one actor taking the role of a king, sits on a throne, you know, has a scepter, etc. Same actor in the role of a beggar. We said last night, the beggar is where? In the costume. The king is where? In the costume. The actor is free from being a beggar as well as king. Just by putting the costume of beggar, actor does not become the beggar. He appears to the beggar. By putting on the costume of king, the actor does not become the king, he just appears as a king. So Atma does not become Jiva, does not become limited, does not become insignificant. But because of identification, the costume, thinks there is limit. You follow? Like the actor identifying with the costume of the beggar, thinks that I am beggar. Same actor, because of identification, the costume of king, thinks that I am king. Similarly, Atma thinks that I am Jiva. So, Mayopadisan, Atma, Ishvara iti uchyate, same Atma with the Upadhi or the costume of Maya. In Maya there is all knowledge, all power, all creation, sustenance, dissolution. Therefore with that costume, Atma is called creator, sustainer, dissolver, omniscient, omnipotent. Therefore, next passage says on page 37, evam upadhi bhedat jiveshvara bheda drushtihi yavat paryantam tishthate tavat paryantam janma maranade rupa samsarah na nivartate. Evam upadhi bhedat. So difference between you and I is because of what? Because of costume? Is it not so? In reality, one actor, that is Atma, the Self, has put on all these different costumes. So, at the level of costume, everybody is different. At the level of the actor who puts on the costume, everybody is what? One? Same Atma has put on the costume of creator, sustainer, dissolver, same Atma. Costume of Maya is called creator, sustainer, dissolver. It's called Ishvara. Ishvara also is the name of costume. Jiva also is the name of costume. But the one putting on that costume is the same Atma, the same Self. So it's very interesting. You take anybody and look at, as I say, look at ourselves and ask this question, who am I? Answer was, who am I? I am Satchidananda. Similarly, ask, what is the true nature in Ishvara also? You know, Bhagavan. You know what Bhagavan does? He creates the world, sustains, dissolves, right? But there is also a changing aspect of Bhagavan. Now he is creator, now he is sustainer, now he is dissolver. So this creating, sustaining, dissolving, there is also a changing aspect of Bhagavan. Is it not so? So true nature of Bhagavan also must be that which does not change, understand? Is it not so? So is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all of these also are only incidental. Bhagavan also, what does he say? I am. In Bhagavan also, what is the changeless aspect? I am, Satchidananda. It's a very wonderful thing that this fellow is a king and this fellow is a beggar. Totally different from each other. But the king also is in reality same actor as the beggar is. Similarly, Jiva is in reality same actor that Ishvara is. Ishvara is like a king, Jiva is like a beggar. But then, just as king is the name of the costume, and beggar also is the name of the costume, not of the actor. Similarly, Jiva is the name of this costume, Ishvara also is the name of the costume. But the actor putting those costumes are different from the costumes. So Vedanta says that you are that. Brahman, the limitless, is nothing but you. This is a reality. Reality is what? That you are really not different from me. Even though your body, mind, sense complex is different from that of mine, that is your costume and this is my costume. The costumes are different, but then the one wearing the costume is really not different at all. So some of you who may have listened to Bhagavad Gita may know that in the 5th chapter there is a verse which says, Vidya vene sampanne brahmane gavihastini suniceva svapakecha panditaha samadarsina. Panditaha, the wise people. Samadarsina, they see the same truth everywhere. Vidya vine sampanne brahmane, in a brahmana who is pure and endowed with knowledge, humility, purity, a sattvic person. Gavi in the cow, Hastini in an elephant, Suni in a dog, Swapacha, Swapacha means what? In a chandala, untouchable. The whole range, from Brahmana, who is sattvic and pure, to is untouchable, who may be very impure, tamas, predominant sattva, and rajas, tamas. All these fellows. Where is Brahmana? Where is cow? Where is elephant? Where is dog? Where is untouchable? They are all different from each other at the level of surface, is it not so? Panditaha samadarshinava pandita. What is pandita? A wise person. The wise people are, this is the same self in all of them. Can you believe that? The dog is the same self as a Brahmana, as an untouchable, as an elephant, as a cow. These are examples, as anybody. Elsewhere it is said in a thief, in a robber. Some of you may be familiar with this Vedic hymn called Rudram. You know, Rudram is a hymn which is of the nature of Namaskar. Namaste Rudramanya Namaha Namaha Namaha. 300 times is being said. So Lord Rudra is being, we are saluting him in variety of forms. Rudra or Bhagavan in variety of forms is being saluted. So then the description is Stenanam Pataye Namaha. My salutations to the one who is the leader of all thieves. My salutation to the one who is leader of all the robbers. We saluted, you know, Rudra, Bhagavan Shiva is saluted. He is the leader of thieves, leader of robbers, different kind of robbers. Fellow coming at that during the day and robbing me away in the daylight, I salutation him. Coming at night and robbing me without my knowledge, a different salutation to him. Namasah manayane vyadhin avyadhini naam pataye namo nama kakubhaya nishangine stena naam pataye namo namo nishangine shirimate taskaranam. Stena means a thief, taskar also means thief. Taskaranam pataye namo. Lord Shiva is called what? Stena naam pati, meaning what? The Pati, the master of all the thieves, master of all the robbers, master of all the dogs and all kinds of things are there. Meaning one God is in all of them. If there is no scripture in the world who will say that God is present in a thief, in a dog, in a horse, in army, in the leader of the army. 300 names are there. What it means is that one Bhagavan has assumed all these different roles. He has put on all these different costumes. But the beauty about playing role is that the actor does not become the role. The beauty about putting on the costume is actor does not become, meaning does not become a thief, does not become a robber. Otherwise it can't be Bhagavan. But look at his glory, that he manifests even as a thief. He manifests even as a robber. He manifests even as a dog and cat and the one riding the horse everywhere. He comes as also a carpenter, as a pot maker, all these different names are there. What does it mean? It means that even though the outer body, mind, sense complexes are different, even though the upadhis are different, costumes are different. The one manifesting through all the costumes is one. So this is the vision that Vedanta gives us. The unity in diversity. Oneness in many. So what would happen? Suppose this is drishti. Will it make any difference in our life? When I take you to be different from me is one thing. Or when I take you to be myself, let me give you another example. Imagine that in this room, variety of mirrors are all, you know, kept. So mirrors are fixed in ceiling and walls and round this. Some concave mirrors, some convex mirrors, some straight mirrors, some distorted mirrors, some cracked mirrors, different kinds of mirrors are there. When I enter the room and stand in the center of the room, you know what will happen? All those mirrors will reflect me, will it not? Suppose there are 500 mirrors. How many Swamis will be there? Some will be fat, isn't it? Some will be tall like a stick. All funny. Depending upon the mirror, every reflection will be different from every other reflection. Is it not so? But do I get deluded? In that also, I recognize the Swami. In that also, I recognize the Swami. Whether it's distorted or not, ugly or beautiful, do I recognize the Swami or not? So even though in appearance there are many, in reality how many are there? So now when I'm standing here, 500 Swamis are seeing, you are wondering, now you want to offer a cup of tea to Swami, how many cups of tea will be required? Not 501? You won't need 501 cups of tea? When one Swami drinks tea, all those fellows also drink tea, is it not so? One Swami raises a hand, all of them also raise a hand. So how many Swamis are there? One. Even though 500 people appear, how many are there? One. You can say that I've put on, each one is a different costume. In some way the costume is like this, in some the costume is that. Every mirror shows me in a different way. So many different costumes are there. But how many are there in reality? How many Swamis are there? One. So just because you see many does not mean that there has to be many, you understand that? Let me give you another example, maybe a little more difficult example. This is an easy example. But suppose now I am watching a dream like this. Imagine that I am giving all of you a talk like this in the dream. So tell me, in my dream, where did you come from? Did you have to travel from your home? Did I have to build this house, a basement, a hall did I have to build? All created from my mind, is it not so? In fact, all those people sitting in the class, you know who they were? I alone was all of them. Because before the dream, I alone was. After dream is over, after I wake up alone, I am there. In between, all these people came. Where did they come from? From I, they all emerged. In I, they were all sustained. When I wake up, in I, they all merged back. Is it not so? Will it happen that I wake up and new people are all sitting there in the class? Swami has woken up now, we are waiting for him. We are waiting for him, for the Swami has woken up now, he has come back to the dream. Will it happen? No. You wake up along with me. Because all of you are a projection of myself. In the dream, the speaker also is I, the listener also is I. Although at that time I do not know. It's after waking up that I realize that, hey, this was I alone, this is all drama, it's all the scene, all the projection of oneself. But in dream, I think that you are different, I am different. When I wake up, I realize that it's all one. There is a hymn called Dakshinamurti Stotra. It says, yas sakshat kurute prabodasmaye svatmanamevadvayam. When he wakes up, then he realizes that all this is just one alone, one non-dual self. Similarly, right now we are not in dream. But in a long dream, that was a short dream. This is what? A long dream. The dream of an individual, this is a dream of Ishvara, the individual mind, dream of total mind. So what we call waking, you know, is what? The dream of the total mind. My dream was projection of one mind. This dream is the projection of the total mind. Dream nevertheless. Just as in my dream, I was the one that was everything, here also in Ishvara alone is all everything. So with all these different examples, what we mean to convey is that the difference that we find are superficial, not fundamental. Just as differences between different ornaments are superficial at the level of name and form, but not at the level of self. Can you tell me what is the self of a Bengal? What is Atma of Bengal? Atma of chain? So one Atma, one gold assume the form of a bangle, of a chain, different ornaments. But then the Atma, the Self, remains one. These poor fellows suffer. They don't know this truth. You may have listened to a Swamiji saying this, that here is a bangle, this woman is wearing a bangle. She is wearing also a chain. This bangle, you know, looks at the chain and says, look how fortunate this chain is. I am bangle. Oh, you know what is bangle? Keeps on banging, it's called bangle. This is a bangle which is put on by a maid servant who is washing dishes and who is washing clothes and stuff like that and doing all this mopping, etc. This bangle keeps on beaten up. It also has to constantly suffer from the elements, sun, rain, and all. Bangle has to constantly be exposed to the elements. So poor bangle thinks that it is very unhappy. The chain is so lucky. Not even exposed to sun, nothing. So bangle is very jealous of the chain. But the chain feels a different way. Chain says, look at this woman. She always hides me. Nobody even sees me. The bangle is so lucky. Everybody sees the bangle. And when the bangle, you know, sometimes reflects that sunlight, that everywhere is glittering. Everybody's attention is drawn to the bangle. Chain, nobody even knows that I am there. So chain is very jealous of bangle. Bangle is jealous of chain. Because Bengal thinks I am a Bengal. Chain thinks I am a chain. If Bengal knew that I am gold, and chain also is gold, will there be jealousy? Otherwise there is jealousy, competition, fight, conflict, struggle, isn't it? So when duality is there, what is duality? Bengal thinking that I am different from chain, and chain thinking that I am different from Bengal, when that division or duality is there, each one is jealous of the other, competes with other. Bengal prays, O Lord, please make me chain. Chain prays, O Lord, please make me Bengal. So Lord heard their prayers. And in next incarnation, next birth, chain was melted, was made into a Bengal. Bengal was melted, was made into a chain. Now they exchange the position. Very happy. For how long? Then poor chain says, hey, look at me, where am I? Formerly I was very lucky, you know, I was in a better position that everybody at least saw me. Nobody, and the Bengal thinks that, you know, I was better as a chain, etc. So when there is duality, there is what? Comparison. When there is comparison, there is a conclusion that I am superior or I am inferior, isn't it? Then there is a complex. Then there is competition. There is jealousy. There can be fight also. That's called samsara. Jealousy, competition, struggle. Trying to pull each other. You know, politics. I told you that story earlier, you know, this man was exporting crabs from India. In United States, this person is exporting the crabs from India, and they are exported from India. So they are shipped. Ship takes 3 to 4 weeks, you know, to travel. And then all the crabs are all packed in crates, you know, wooden crates. The way things are in India sometimes, you know, the crates, etc., the workers may not do a good job. Once it happened that when this consignment reached the United States, they found that most of the crates were all broken and open. But the wonder was, all the crabs were intact. So American fellow wrote to the Indians, what kind of a jadu we are doing? The crabs are all the time traveling in the sea and the crates are open. They could have simply walked up and then into the ocean. Is it not so? That's their home. How come these fellows did not do that? He says, in India, for every one person who wants to go up, there are 6 people who pull him down. So no crab could rise, you know. That's when duality is there, all of this will be there. When you are different from me, I am different from you, comparison, jealousy, competition, politics, manipulation, maneuvering constantly goes on. A human being is a politician. We may not be professional politicians, but we are. We also manipulate. We also all the time try to always see how I can use others, how I can derive some benefit. Always this calculation. Coming from where? Coming from a sense of incompleteness, inadequacy. Lack, want. Why? Because I take myself a limited being. Which is not the reality about me. That comes because of identification with this body, mind, sense complex, which is limited. So limitations belonging to body, mind, sense complex are superimposed upon I, and I look upon myself as a limited being. Like looking at the mirror, I find myself a fat person and think I've really become fat. Start dieting. Thus, what belongs to other place is superimposed elsewhere. Limitations belong to this body, mind, sense complex. Superimposed upon I, and I look upon myself as a limited being. Then, there's always a comparison. This is a human, you know, this is a problem with human beings, always suffering from complexes. See, other creatures don't have these complexes. That way they're happy. Our Swami used to say that a cow with ugly horns or broken horns, there's a cow with shapely horns, other cow with broken horns. But the cow with broken horns does not have any inferiority complex at all. The owner of the cow has a complex. When these two cows are sold, they go in different prices, even though they give the same quantity of milk, but they go, why? Because the owner has a problem. That this is a shapely, more beautiful cow, and this is not a beautiful cow. Cow doesn't think that I am not beautiful, understand? A cow that gives 10 liters of milk every day, other cow that does not give any milk, doesn't feel I am inferior in at all, no complexes. Would be nice, is it not so? They don't compare each other with each other. They don't have any superior inferiority complex. There are no complexes. There are no stress. There are no competition. Except only eating food, etc. No comparison. A donkey doesn't feel that I want to become better than a horse. Look at this horse, it's getting so much respected. Look at me, the donkey, I'm carrying all the burden and still I'm beaten up. And this fellow doesn't carry any burden at all and still he's so much respected. So if you were a donkey, you would feel jealous of a horse, is it not? But donkey doesn't. All the problems typical to human beings. Samsara only belongs to human beings. Other people have no samsara, not awareness of samsara. They are blissfully ignorant. Not that they don't know samsara, blissfully ignorant. Human being has been given self-consciousness and therefore all problems, all stresses, all comparisons, all complexes, all competitions, all struggles, all conflicts. It's called samsara. And you know, this does not stop with one lifespan. Because when I depart from this body, I depart with the same samskara, that I am a limited being, I am wanting being, I want this, I want that, I want that. So when I depart from this body with all these kind of notions, when I am born again, I am born with the same notions. So I start the same business in the next lifetime. Same kind of notions, same kind of struggles. Next lifetime, same problem. It's called vasana. Meaning the same habitual patterns we carry from one lifetime to the other. So says, even upadhi vedat jivishvara bhedrushtihi yavat paryantam tishthati. Difference is not in the self. Upadhi vedat. Upadhi means costume. In fact, veda or the differences or duality or variety is in the costume. But because I look upon myself as a costume, I am identified with the costume. Therefore, I look upon myself as different from all others. And therefore, upadhi bhedat, bheda drushtihi. What is bheda drushti? This conclusion of perception that I am different, you are different. Yavat paryantam tishtati. As long as this bheda drushti or this conclusion of duality, as long as it persists, tavat paryantam, so long. Janma marana adi rupa samsara na nivartate. What is samsara? Repeated birth, a cycle of repeated birth and death. One way of describing samsara is the cycle of repeated birth and death. The birth is sudden. Lord Krishna says, Jatasya hi dhruva mrityuhu. Dhruvam janma mrutasya. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityuhu. Death is sudden for the one who is born. And birth is sudden for the one who dies. Therefore, from one embodiment, I keep on struggling and I get exhausted. This body also gets dilapidated. I get exhausted. God says, alright, let me give you a new body. Start all over again. It's given to me for becoming... This human body is meant to be a means of moksha. But we simply squander it away in all these worldly struggles. Meaningless struggles. Getting nothing out of them. At the end of the life, you have nothing to write home about. Very. You may say, I may become a millionaire. That is okay. All that may have happened. But as far as self-satisfaction is concerned, I am as dissatisfied as I was before. Unless, of course, I initiated a spiritual growth, of course. If we initiate a spiritual growth, an inner growth, where there is a constant attempt to become free from raga-dveshas, likes and dislikes. So the extent to which I become free from likes and dislikes, to that extent automatically the duality also starts becoming less and less intense. More raga-dveshas are there, more divisions are there. Less raga-dveshas are there, less divisions will be there. No raga-dvesha is there, no division is there. So even the differences that we feel between ourselves is all a function of what? Raga and dvesha, which is product of ignorance. Therefore, a constant attempt on our part to give up or drop raga and dvesha. Likes and dislikes. So, tavat paryantam janma marana adirupa samsara na nivartate. Meaning the struggle, the conflict, the unhappiness, the sadness will not go until we discover our true nature as being one without a second. As long as we give reality to a sense of limitation and therefore look upon us as different from others, so long this struggle and this unhappiness will not go. Whether I become a millionaire or a billionaire or a prime minister or a president or whatever I become, samsara is there. What is samsara? Sense of smallness, sense of want, lack, inadequacy. Likes, dislikes, jealousies, competitions. Nobody can be free, whether it's Trump, X, Y, whoever it is. Billionaire, whatever. You seem having more of that than others, actually. By saying the self dissatisfaction doesn't go. In the costume, you can make any amount of differences. If you don't make any difference in the self, then all the problems are centered on the self. This samsara, a sense of sadness, unhappiness, is centered upon the self, not upon non-self. You follow? What we do in our life? We are all the time changing this costume, hoping that that sadness will go. But sadness is centered upon the self, not upon the non-self. Therefore, changing non-self will not solve the problem of the self. When we feel sad, you know what we do? Go for a candy, for ice cream, for movie, etc. Looks like temporarily it goes away. Because of the intoxication of that ice cream or some, you know, entertainment, momentarily forget that. Doesn't go away. Comes back again. So, the problem of self-satisfaction is centered upon self, not upon non-self. And human being constantly applies solutions which are all based on non-self. He becomes stronger in the body and he does this. Nothing wrong in doing those things. He wants to become wealthier, more powerful, more famous. That's okay. All of that does not change the self. Unless we change the self, this problem of unhappiness, sadness, samsara cannot go. And that changes in two stages. One is a change in terms of becoming free from raga dvesha. Other is change in terms of the knowledge of oneness. Therefore, the next line says, tasmat karanat na jiveshvaryoho bheda buddhi svikarya. Tasmat karanat, for that reason. What reason? That as long as bheda buddhi is there, as long as we look upon ourselves as different from others, as long as I look upon myself as a limited individual being, different from others, isolated, then we feel isolated. We feel lonely. We feel isolated. We feel separated. So always seeking attention, always seeking a pat on the back, always seeking people's approval, always seeking people to support us, love us constantly. And regardless of how much of that we get, we are not satisfied. People want to make me happy. So, Swami, what do you like? I like this. Okay. I like that. They keep doing it. But unless, you know, all that does not change me at all, I keep on becoming more and more demanding. Unless a fundamental change happens. Unless this duality goes. Meaning, so this passage says, therefore, we should not accept the duality. Even though we feel it, but don't accept it. Don't give it a reality. You follow? Right now, our life, what all we do, is based on duality. You know, and what we do? We try to separate ourselves from others. In fact, all our attempt is what? I'm something. I try to make myself bigger than you, more distinguished than you. I change my hairstyle and my clothes and my this, so that I'm distinct from you. So human being seeks success in distinguishing himself from others, meaning that he even makes the sense of duality more intense. In the process, feels more separated, more isolated, more lonely, doesn't realize that. The whole world teaches that you should distinguish yourself. You should always present yourself as different from others. That's all right. But in the mind also, that sense of duality is, you know, entertained. That will never make me free from this struggle. Therefore, even though right now we feel that we are different from others, don't give reality to that duality. Meaning that we should base our life on non-duality, not duality. So therefore we are taught karma yoga, we are taught bhakti yoga, we are taught values, all of them are based on non-duality. You see, the fundamental value that we are taught is ahimsa, non-violence, you know. Fundamental value is non-violence. This non-violence is possible primarily when, you know, who is a non-violent person? Lord Krishna says, one who treats others as he treats himself. How can we become great yogis? Lord Krishna says, sa yogi paramo matah. Lord Krishna says, in my opinion, he is the greatest yogi. Who? The one who treats others as he treats himself. Very simple thing. Let's even try. Try to treat others as we treat ourselves. Or try to treat others as we like to be treated. We like to be treated with kindness, with love, with compassion. That's how we should treat others. If I've committed a mistake or if I'm fault, I like to be forgiven, not punished, isn't it? You want to be forgiven, not punished? So let us forgive others. I want others to be compassionate to me. Let us be compassionate to them. Simple thing. It's called non-violence. That will completely transform ourselves. Because all these values are based on non-duality. One value in ahimsa, satyam, etc. will teach us, ultimately take us to, it will require for us to give less and less importance to duality, otherwise I can't follow non-violence. I cannot be kind to you unless I look upon you as myself or close to myself. So that is why we'll continue next time. But this one says that we should not accept as real the sense of duality with which we are born, because based on ignorance it is false, and if we give the false a reality, we'll never reach the reality. Our life will be based on, because our assumption is wrong. See, in the olden days, when you solve the problems of mathematics, and now you assume x is equal to 100, and then you solve the problem. Even basic assumption is wrong. Even though your method may be right, the answer will never be right. Similarly, basic assumption in your life is wrong. You are different, I am different. And then I try to do everything. But the basic assumption is wrong. So answer cannot be right. Tasmat karana na jiveshwaya ho bhed buddhi svikarya. So the text says that for that reason, one should not accept the duality of jiva and ishvara, or jiva and jiva. Our life should be ideally based on non-duality, even though it's not our experience. So they say, fake it till you make it. Fake that you are not different from me, and I treat you that way, and you will make it in course of time. So that's what Vedanta teaches us. That's most amazing teaching. So here we'll conclude and then open for question answers. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Vadarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah. Ishvaro Guru Ratmede Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye Namah. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.